Ellis, the horse capital of the world, Bluegrass Country. Horse Tales is all about the horses, the people, and the history of the thoroughbred industry. Now here's your host, Ursel Ellis.
Well, good morning, everyone, and it's a busy morning here at the Thoroughbred Center. We've got a clocker stand full of people. Jackie's outside clocking, and Holly, our EMS, is over there taking down names. We drafted her. And let's see, Ressie's here. Ressie, thanks for showing up this early in the morning.
Yes, sir.
And track is, they're getting over it real good, but it's muddy. It's muddy because with all the rain we've had on it in the last few days, that's no, you know, it's no surprise. Well, what are we going to do today at 9 o'clock? Dr. Pete Pryor is going to come by. He's a veterinarian. He's a friend of Doug Byers, and that's good enough for me. So he's going to stop by, and we're going to chat with Pete. Michael Blowen will be here. We're going to talk to Steve Moody about the Lexus Raven Run Stakes, which is the feature at Keeneland today. It's a Grade 2 stakes race. Of course, Steve's with the Kentucky Horseshoe, the Kentucky Handicapper Sheet, and Briss. I read something from Joe Palmer. We're doing 1957 old horses. Here comes Don Combs pulling up now, a resident Kentucky Derby trainer. Anyway, we're going to take a look at Dedicate. It was by Prince Quilla. One of my favorite horses, Swoon Son. And Swoon Son was quite a runner, year after year after year. And been bred by Mr. E. Gay Drake and owned by Mr. E. Gray Drake. And I saw him train out at Keeneland. They'd send him to Strawter Griffin every year out during the winter. After he had the winter off every year, and then they'd bring him back, and Strawter would get him ready to run and send him out. And he'd come out running. And, of course, we got Jackie's announcements to do. And let's see, winners from the Thoroughbred Center. We've had through the 21st, we've had 26 winners so far this month, which isn't too shabby. It always slows down a little bit doing Keeneland. Oh, we've had some Keeneland winners, but, excuse me, but it's hard to win out there at any level, believe me. But since last week's show, we've had 10 winners, so that's 10 winners in 7 days. Let's see, Matt Frazier sent one up to Hawthorne. Man, you go anywhere to win a race, won't you? He drove all the way up to Hawthorne. That's about a 6.5-hour drive. And one up there with a horse named Instant Measure. Eduardo Caramori won one down at Hoosier. Wayne Mogi sent two up the same day and won them both. One with She's a Rocket and one with a Wild Event. Out at Keeneland, Steve Casey won with Waltzing in Red Jeans. I got to say a little bit about this one. This is a filly that Steve had run up at a couple of times up at Turfway, and she showed some speed, but hadn't run, and you know, didn't run in about the middle of the pack. And he upped her. This had Matthew Strait was on him out here at Keeneland. I think he rode him up there also. And had the number 12 post position in a 12-horse field, and Matt took him to the lead and came down and won by head and paid, I think it was $167.80. And Steve was up here on the clocker stand just a little bit earlier this morning. I said, boy, you ought to be good for a touch. And he says, I didn't bet a penny. And then he says, I said, well, Matt rode you a really good race. And he says, will you give him a live horse? And says, he'll absolutely ride you a good race. He says, of course, I didn't know I was putting him on a live horse. So that's the story of that long shot winner out there that Steve Casey. Steve's having a good year, about a 26% win percentage. Let's see, also at Keeneland, that same day, Kellen Gordon win one with Antique Wedding. And that's another high percentage trader. Michael Ewing won one, that was Friday, I believe it was, yeah, out at Keeneland with Song Girl. Michael is from California, a nice lady, sounds like a man. I asked her, says, your dad must have wanted a boy, and she says, you got that right. But anyway, but she's really, really a nice person. She and her husband own a farm down in Versailles now, down in Woodford County. And let's see, that last night we had three winners at Mountaineer. Tommy Short, who trains here and has for years and years and years, had Devil's Frost Report, won the first race. Jimmy Cargan sent Becknerville Bound down to win the third race. And Brian Michael won the seventh race with It's Gotta Be Us. Three very capable trainers. We've got a lot of good trainers out here. All righty, let's see what we're going to do now. Jackie can't come in. She's outside clocking. And I don't think there's any...
Do you want me to do some announcements if you go out?
Oh, I don't care. You can if you want to, but I'm going to have to do some commercials here in just a few minutes. But why don't you start in on the announcements, and then I'll stand up there, and I'm not going outside. I'm going to stand there in the window and look. I'm going to get up there with Don Combs. He's another looker. I know she's got a big old Irish sweater and a turtleneck. And
They're all
making fun of me because I'm dressed appropriately.
Well, somebody said the clocker ought to be outside this morning earlier. That was... Kellen Gorder, and I says, when you pass 75 years old, you're exempt from going outside.
There you go. That's why God put windows in this building.
Absolutely. Well, yeah. Well, I think the training center put them in, but that's all right.
Well, the hand of God.
The hand of God. Want me to ahead and do some commercials?
Go ahead, and then I'll...
Okay. I'll do that. Well, last Saturday, a call to the Grade 3 Spend-A-Buck Stakes was won by Mad Flatter. Six-year-old horse. He is by Flatter, of course. Mad Flatter has won the Spend a Buck twice now and has earned over $337,000. He's one of 16 2011 stakes horses by Flatter, a list that includes Flat Out, winner of the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Grade 2 Suburban, winner of over $1,109,000, and a leading candidate for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tar Heel Mom, winner of 8 stakes, 4 this year, including the Grade 2 Honorable Miss at Saratoga and the Grade 3 Sugar Swirl at Gulfstream. She's earned over $832,000. Apart, winner of the Grade 3 Stakes at Pimlico and placed in Grade 1 Stakes at Churchill this year, and a Graded Stakes winner at Churchill Louisiana Downs in 2010, for earnings of nearly $700,000. Flatter is a full brother to Congrats by AP Indy, out of Praise by Mr. Prospector, and he stands at Claven Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at clavenfarm.com.
Here are two names to remember in the horse business: the Clay Ward Agency and Indian Creek. The Clay Ward Agency, founded in 1931 by James Clay Ward, has been providing the finest in equine insurance for some 80 years. Success was based on hard work, dedication, attention to detail, great service, and a thorough knowledge of the horse business. Quality still carried on today. Whatever your insurance needs, if it pertains to the thoroughbred, the professionals at the Clay Ward Agency are positioned to supply the best coverage at the best price available. Give Shaq Parrish, Bruce Isaacs, or John Hess a call, 987-1861, or stop by the office at 1102 Main Street in Paris. Ask about the services available also at Indian Creek, where many of the major stakes winners, both here and abroad, first saw the light of day. Indian Creek has raised, boarded, and sold many of the world's finest thoroughbreds, and the Clay Ward Agency has insured many of the world's finest thoroughbreds. Indian Creek and the Clay Ward Agency, that's a winning combination.
And incidentally, they have a consignment, a small consignment, but albeit a consignment in Barn 7 out at Fazy Tipton. Go see them out there. One thing about those Indian Creek consignments, you know they're raised right, and they raise a lot of good horses. Well, for instance, the Factor, it was raised and sold right by Indian Creek, and of course he's going to be one of the favorites, if not the favorite, for the Breeders' Cup Sprint. They've got a filly by Street Boss. She's a New York bred, incidentally, out of a stakes place win of $190,000. Two colts, one by Orion Tate, out of a Crafty Prospector mare, and a colt by Runaway and Hyde. That's the first foal out of this mare. And Runaway and Hyde, in case you remember, it was undefeated in 2, won the Grade 2 Saratoga Special. I got to run. They called me from the gate.
I better do this one because all of a sudden there's a lot of stuff going on. This is kind of fun, really. Outside. She's outside. Okay. They're working a couple out of the gate right over my shoulder. Okay. This is kind of fun if you've never been out here. We have a little, what is this, like a little camp house on stilts. It's about what, 20, 15 by 8, 10, 12? What do you think? But anyway, the front of it's got a front porch, and we have glass all across the front and part of the sides, so we can clock inside when it gets cold. And it's cold, but we're not clocking inside. There's too much going on, I think. So anyway, Broken Vow is the sire of 14 2011 stakes horses. That's pretty routine for Broken Vow. He's sired right at 17% stake horses lifetime. His Broken Dreams won the Grade 3 Ken Matty Stakes at Santa Anita on September 30th. Then I'm Sure won the Alphabet Soup Stakes at Parks on October the 8th. Counted among his other 2011 stakes winners is the brilliant Sassy Image, winner this year of 2 Grade 1 stakes at Churchill Downs. Sassy Image is one of 4 Grade 1 stakes winners by Broken Vow. Unbridled Bell won Grade 1 stakes and nearly $2 million. Cotton Blossom and Broken Wedding round out the list. Broken Vow, a son of Unbridled, stands at Pin Oak Stud with the stallions Bob and John, Cowboy Cow, and Sky Classic. Bob and John, a Grade 1 stakes winner by Seeking the Gold, has 10 two-year-old winners, including a stakes winner in his first crop this year. Cowboy Cal's a multiple graded stakes winner and Millionaire by Giant's Causeway, and his first foals are weanlings. Sky Classic by Nijinsky II has sired 59 stakes winners, 10 Grade 1 winners, and over 100 stakes horses. Inquiries to Clifford Berry, and see the website at pinoakstud.com. All right, I'm going to do a few announcements now. I've got so many announcements this week, it's kind of fun. Oh, I'll tell you one announcement I don't like. I'm kind of slow on the pickup, but I realized that Breeders' Cup, would you turn that one down? She's got the other one. She didn't need it. Breeders' Cup is next week, and so is the National Horse Show that has moved to the Horse Park, and you can't be two places at once. The Breeders' Cup runs next Friday and Saturday, and the National Horse Show is Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. But gee whiz, I think that's going to cost the National some, it's going to cost me for one, but because this is, you know, horse racing is pretty much first around here. I'm glad we've got it, but I wish it could have been a week later or something. Anyway. Tomorrow is October 23rd. Kathy Murphy Stables is having a hunter pace at 1 o'clock. That is at 660 Grimes Mill Road in Lexington. They're having a haunted hurdles pace. Those are jumpers. A zippy zombie pace, a creepy crawly pace, and a witchy walker pace, and a costume class. Ah, funny names, Kathy. Entry fees are $25 or $35 for 2 classes. Hot dog and chips, a portion of the benefits go to St. Jude's Children's Hospital. That's Kathy Murphy Stable. Let me give you your phone number if you have a question. 527-6548. I know there's a sound of a conflict there, too. The Woodford Hounds has their guest this weekend, the Tennessee Valley Hunt, from Knoxville, and they were going to hunt yesterday and today, and they always go to Kathy's hunter pace if they got a horse left. This would be 3 days, so they, you know, oh well. Now, Kentucky Proud for Horses. The horse industry horses have been included in the Kentucky Proud program. So, how to apply? You can go to their website and fill out a form. It's just for equine farm applicants. If you'd like to apply for a marketing grant through Kentucky Proud, you can click on that and just send everything to Frankfort, of course, Kentucky Department of Agriculture. I want to give you a phone number because this is pretty clever. And if you go to KentuckyHorse.org, of course, that'll help you, KentuckyHorse.org. But there's Ms. Vicki Stucker, 502, that's Frankfort, 564-4983. This is pretty clever, pretty interesting. I mean, the grant marketing grants. There's nothing wrong with that. So here's something wonderful. In conjunction with the national show, the National Horse Show, there will be a black tie gala Tuesday, November 1st. Is that next week? Is that next week? Wait a minute. Is the Breeders' Cup in 2 weeks or 1 week? I'm all confused now. Anyway, my favorite singer, I guess, in the world is Ronan Tynan, and he's going to perform at the Black Tie Gala that launches the All-Tech National Horse Show on Tuesday, November 1st, and all proceeds benefit the Kentucky Equine Humane Center. If you're interested in participating, it's 2 weeks. Everything is in 2 weeks. Right. That's what I, yeah. The horse park thing is starts this, yeah, it's all the same weekend. That's terrible. Anyway, it's a black tie gala. Now, getting Ursel there in a black tie is almost impossible, so I may have to get a date. Give them a call for reservations, 881-5849. This is, they're doing it up well. It's All-Tech again. That guy does such a good job. I mean, he certainly puts his wallet out there where it's useful. Okay, at the horse park this weekend, it is the Purebred Moorab Horse Association Moorab Nationals Championship in Futurity. Yeah, all that. Next week is Certified Horsemanship Association Convention, October 29th. Oh, I'm going to make a separate announcement about this. The Central Kentucky Riding for Hope Halloween Benefit Trail Ride and Tax Sale. That's a good one. That's the one that you get to ride all over the horse park. And they have a costume contest and people dress up their ponies and stuff. Hopefully you have some used tack that you can donate. And if you can, just call out the horse park at CKRH. November 1st is the Black Tie Gala for the Equine Center with Ronan Tynan. And November 2 through the 6th is the All-Tech National Horse Show. Now, those tickets are on sale. They range from $10 to $30. And what's that? Ticketmaster, Rusty? Is that what you do? That's the name of that? Okay. I've never done that. Oh, here's some more about CKRH. Betsy did this, and it's just a wonderful therapeutic program. The session for 2011 ends today, and they will open up again in January. You know, I think the reason they do that is if you're all crippled up or like Betsy and you have tone and all that, it's much more difficult to do stuff in cold weather. Summer is wonderful, but it's a whole different thing. But there is coming the Halloween tax sale and trail ride. It's an important fundraiser, and they need donated items for the tax sale. So if you can clean out your tack room, it's time of the year to do that. Consider donating items, and trail ride's always fun. It's just fun. CKRH.org, and check it out. If you're interested in participating in the therapeutic program, you have to apply by January 4th. So the new session begins January 23rd. I know I'm pretty sure I've already signed her up, but I guess I better check it. Moving right along. Thoroughbred Charities of America fundraiser is October the 29th. That's next Friday. They're going to have a unique fundraiser at Keeneland, Saturday, October 29th, and they need volunteers. Fundraisers called Play One for the Pony and offer the bettors the opportunity to donate their parimutuel tickets to Thoroughbred Charities of America. And at the end of the day, Thoroughbred Charities is going to cash the winning tickets and hopefully take home sacks and sacks of money. Now, there are going to be two shifts. You can work from 12 to 3 or 3 to 6 or both, whatever. Anyway, you'll have 10, they're going to have 10 donation spots around Keeneland. You get a pin that says play one for the ponies. So if you can do this, it'd be good. You need to contact Aaron Craddy, Executive Director of Thoroughbred Charities America. You can go to tca.org. It's probably the easiest. Just go to tca.org, because if you're riding around and you don't want to write a phone number down, you can pick it up on the internet. Buck Brannaman is one of those, not natural horsemen, not a horse whisperer, anyway, that kind of stuff. There's a movie about his life called Buck, and it will be playing at the Kentucky Theater, started yesterday at 5:30. It's only going to be playing for a week, and the manager said you can check the times, of course, in the newspaper or whatever. Louise Kelly sent me this. She said she's seen it and loved it and highly recommend it. So you got a week to see a movie about a horseman that, Buck Brannaman. Here comes the National Horse Show. Starts the 2nd, goes through the 6th. 50% of all proceeds benefiting 9 national and local horse organizations. Equine Humane Center, Mounted Police, Shriners. Let's see, what else? Horse Park Foundation, Horse Park Mustang Group, and the United States Equestrian Team. They are going to have 60 vendors at their trade show. You've got a whole lot to do at the Horse Park anyway. Eat, drink, and relax in Pierce's Place Pub. I guess that's in the Altec Arena. So it'll be inside, it'll be warm, and you will like it, I promise. 128 years of tradition at this thing. Children 12 and under are free. Tickets start at $10. I think they're $10 to $30. And you get $5 admission to all other horse park attractions with a valid stub. Ticketmaster.com. Oh, it depends on which day you buy for. It depends on the charity where your money goes.
You want to relieve me now and go out on the porch deer?
What time is it?
It's time for a commercial break.
Well, it's also time for a track break.
Well, yeah, but there's still people out
okay,
there.
Okay, I'll go out there and pester people.
They're going to work down to the last second, I believe.
I'm going.
I'll tell you what.
It was your idea.
Wasn't my idea. Confusion reigns. Well, October 15th at Santa Anita, the grade $250,000 Oak Tree Derby was won by Ultimate Eagle, a 3-year-old colt by Mizzen Mass. Ultimate Eagle led all the way due to feet of field, 14, posting his 3rd consecutive win. Bred in Kentucky by Ben Walden Jr. and David Hanley, he's a $70,000 graduate of the Ocala April 2-year-old in training sale. A grade 2 stakes winner in his first start in stakes, Ultimate Eagle joins an ever-growing list of major stakes winners by Mizzen Mass. Runners such as Grade 1 stakes winner Mass Track and Grade 1 stakes winner Midships and graded stakes winner Jaboom and Medeo, Seaspeak, Strike the Bell, 22 stakes winners, 37 stakes horses in all. You get a lot of run for your money with the Mizzen Mass. The Grade 1 stakes winner himself, Mizzen Mass, is the son of the outstanding sire Colzine, and he stands at Judmont Farm. Home also of the young Grade 1 stakes winner First Defense by Unbridled Song, out of Grade 1 stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. What a pedigree. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website at judmont.com. Oh, I want to take care of my good friends down at McCauley's. I had to go down and get some feed. They do deliver, though. But we went down and picked some up anyway. Well, last Saturday at Woodbine, the Grade 1 $500,000 Neartic Stakes was won by Regally Ready, bred by Grapestock. That's a division of Vinery, and he was carrying the Vinery Silks. Friends of McCauley Brothers have done very well north of the border. Last year's Canadian Horse of the Year, Biofuel, was bred and owned by a longtime McCauley client, Brereton C. Jones. In other stakes last weekend, the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby at Santa Anita went to Ultimate Eagle, bred by Ben Walden Jr. and David Hanley. The winner of the Charlie Palmer Futurity, also out on the West Coast, was won by Longview Drive, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. And the HBPA Jefferson County Commission Handicap in West Virginia was won by Song Warrior, bred by the partnership of Needham, Betts, Demantia, La Mancha, Blackburn, and Halecki. Congratulations to all from Macaulay Brothers, the leader in their field, as the first feed mill in the nation to produce products exclusively for the horse. To join the winning team, just call Daryl Ward or Mike Warren at 873-3333 or stop by the office at 111 Broadway in Versailles. Macaulay Brothers, where it's all about the horse. Well, private calls. Winner last weekend of the $75,000 John W. Galbraith Stakes is a 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Noble Causeway. Private calls won by widening 9 lengths to post her second stakes win and her first around 2 turns. Like her sire, she is at her best around 2 turns. Noble Causeway is the sire of 2 other first crop juveniles which have placed in stakes. That's 3 stakes horses in his first crop. A grade one performer himself, Noble Causeway, is by champion sire Giants Causeway, out of the hard-hitting race mare Mimi's Golden Girl by Seeking the Goal. Mimi's Golden Girl is a half-sister to Group 2 stakes winner Placerville, out of the high-class winner Classy Cathy by private account. Now, Classy Cathy won 3 grade 1 stakes, the Classic Alabama, the Ashland out here at Keeneland, and the Gazelle. And it's the family of dozens of graded stakes winners. A superb individual of $1,150,000 sales yearly. Noble Causeway stands at Crestwood Farm. Inquiries at Pope McLean. See the website at crestwoodfarm.com. All righty. Well, the dust has settled out there now. It's break time. And, hey, Jackie. You got that list of stakes winners for the KTA that David Schweitzer has so generously. Here, we got it. Okay, go on back out there and do your duty.
Back to work.
They've closed the track down there. They're going to renovate the track. Yeah, I think she can handle it now. All right. Okay, these are, this is a compliment to the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association. These were Kentucky bred stakes winners from last week in the Grade 2 Oak Tree Derby. Went to Ultimate Eagle by Mizzen Mass, bred by Ben Walden and David Hanley. The Grade 3 Hawthorne Derby winner, Wilcox Inn, by Harlan's Holiday, incidentally, bred by Dr. John Chandler. Of course, this horse won the American Derby and Arlington Classic also up there. The Grade 3 J.P. Morgan Jessamine Stakes out at Keeneland went to Somali Lemonade, bid by Cena Forkerson. The Grade 3 Knickerbocker in New York, Boisterous by Distorted Humor, bred by Cynthia Phipps. The Grade 3 Athene Stakes at Belmont went to Denomination, bred by Brookdale Thoroughbreds. I think I got a group stakes winner over here. Yeah. Oh, well, it's Canada. That's anyway, it's Group 1 Neartic Stakes at Woodbine. Regally Ready won that, bred by Grapestock. That's a division of Vinery and races for Vinery. And he's coursed by More Than Ready. That's 20 stakes winners this year by More Than Ready. He's got them all over the world here and in Australia mostly. The Remington Green Stakes went to Cherokee Lord, bred by Millard Selden Revocable Trust and the estate of Hoss Inman. The Pebble Stakes at Belmont, Elusive Pearl, bred by Woodland Thoroughbreds. The Charlie Palmer Fortuity out in California, Longview Drive won that, by Pulpit, bred by Winchell Thoroughbreds. The Los Inerator Stakes at Ritama went to the Sisterhood, bred by Ken and Sarah Ramsey. The L, I guess it would be H-O-J-O-V-E-N, it probably looks like Joven, but I guess it's Hoven, isn't it? It's supposed to be Spanish.
I don't know any Spanish.
What do you mean you don't know?
Fayates.
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 Watch your veil. El Hoven Stakes out of Ritama went to Tequila Factor, bred by Oak Haven Farm. That's one of 10 stakes winners this year by Pure Prize. The ATBA Fall Sale Stakes. Where in the hell did they run that? Oh, Turfway. As Ridge won that, bred by Glencrest Farm. Not Turfway. Turf Paradise, a little bit warmer out there than it is at Turfway right now. The Jack Goodman Stakes at San Anita went to Secret Circle. That's an Eddington, bred by the Wilmot Stables, a 2-year-old by Eddington. Of course, Eddington's over at Claven Farm, Bond Bridle. The Francis A. Jenner Stakes down at Caller went to Luc Lukahova, by Maria's mom. There's a horse that died much too soon.
Yeah.
What a loss he was for Fin Oak Stud. Edward Gann bred this one. The Salima Stakes at Laurel, softly lit, bred by Woods Age Farm. The three stakes up in West Virginia, the HBPA Jefferson County Commission Handicap, went to Song Warrior, bred by Nita Betts, Thoroughbreds, La Mancha, Blackburn, and Halecki. The HBPA Municipality's Mayor's Handicap, I can't hardly say it, Malibu, Moonlit Malibu won that, by Malibu Moon. That's one of 12 stakes winners for him this year, bred by DJ Stables and B. Wayne Hughes, owner of Spendthrift. And the HBPA Governor's Cup Handicap went to Fonda Rhonda One, bred by Frank Schaefer. So that takes care of last week's Kentucky bred stakes winners.
All right. Shall I continue?
Yeah, you go ahead, and then I'll do some history or something. Or
put up the barbed wire before the track opens. Make it a little harder for them to get in here.
I was hoping the track would be muddy today so we wouldn't
get
buried.
It's a little. It's muddy.
Yeah. We didn't answer this. When the gate called us, didn't answer right away. The gate man, the starter got a little panicky, I think. That's Joe Heat.
We called it off.
Fuckers! Fuckers!
Decided we'd have a party. Jeez.
Poor Holly by UMS was outside getting the cheese.
Cowgirls can do anything.
You didn't count on that, did you, Holly, when she went to work here?
I know. Well, it's better than sitting in a chair and being bored.
Well, I guess.
Yeah, you just join in. It's kind of fun.
Especially you can come in here and listen to us and be bored. But
there's the siren went off. Must be a loose horse on the bottom track.
On the bottom track. So she springs into action, goes out and see if the rider's standing. Be down below, I think, Holly.
Yes. Either that or it's going to get...
You see a loose one out here?
I don't see a loose one.
I don't either.
See the tractors on the upper track.
Maybe the siren's loose.
In case you didn't realize, we have an upper track and a lower track. Lower track used to be covered, and then was it 97, the big
96,
snow?
96, 97, we had that 20 inches of snow.
Yeah, at least 20, 22, I think.
Yeah.
And that was the end of the old cover on
that
the
lower
track.
That thing went down like a stack of dominoes falls.
I know. Just amazing.
Hell, it cost almost $1 million to clean up the mess.
Yeah. Isn't that incredible?
But you know, that's a good little track down there. It's a lot better now than it was when it was a covered track. Of course, it's the original track.
Yeah.
That when they first built this place, they put that, it's a 5/8 mile track, and they covered it. But it had its problems because the wind would blow in underneath the cover,
exactly.
You know, and it would be soft here and wet
not
there.
Yeah, and it would develop leaks in the roof drips.
Yeah, and
make
get
little
soft
holes,
spots.
Called soft spots. Yeah, I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah, it's a good little track. A lot of people train down there.
Well, it's really good for babies because it sits lower. And horses, of course, can see forever. They can see far, far, far. And while you think they're looking at attractors, now they're looking way off in the distance for predators, that kind of reaction. And
yeah, like clockers and
clockers and really scary stuff like radio engineers. And they can see a lot more from the upper track. When you go down below, you can't see quite as much, and it just is more calming.
And it keeps them out of the way of the horses that are in more serious training up above.
Yeah, they're going real fast. So.
And they get bad actors. Every now and then they'll get a horse up here that's a bad, really bad actor, and they'll rule them off here and make them go down
make
below.
Make them go
with
below.
It.
Yeah, it's an excellent facility. It's just a real good place.
Yes, it is.
Now, back to the national show, Alltech National Horse Show. They are having an Equus Pavilion for student education. They're going to get 1,000 students in here. I think it's on November. Well, it's going to open 9 to 2 Thursday and Friday. This thing is a big deal. They've built it as to look like a show ring. They are going to have all kind of exhibits. Rood and Riddle is going to have a sport horse symposium Thursday, November 3rd from 5 to 7. I'm real impressed. Oh, you know who's doing it? Bobby Murphy. I guess that's Robbie's Bobby Murphy.
Robbie's Bobby?
Yeah. And they said he got started on it in July when the North American Junior and Young Riding Championships were going on. And that's got to do with that Phelps group that runs a lot of the big shows at the Horse Park. The Horse Park provides the facilities. It's a very clever way to do it. They don't put the shows on. Phelps puts them on, different breeds, organizations put them on. Pony Club does a lot of stuff. That way, the Horse Park doesn't have to carry a whole huge staff, people thinking around of fun things to do. So that was good. I think Betsy Fishback had a lot to do with it. They're going to change the major changes to controversial whip rules. They were supposed to do it yesterday. To listen to this. Last-ditch effort to fend off the threat of a strike action by jockeys. Did you hear anything about that? Jockeys were going to strike about whip rules? I didn't know anything about that.
No, I didn't read that.
Oh.
I'm reading this right now. Don't
Here, this
me.
Is good. The business of racing. New York trainers sue the Department of Homeland Security over its refusal to grant seasonal work visas to backstretch workers. That's unbelievable. They've been giving these same people seasonal work visas forever. So they filed a lawsuit October 7th, and Belmont and Aqueduct were not going to have enough workers to take care of the horses in their barns. So what craziness. I'll tell you, the more you go on, you're just amazed at what people do. All right, and gaming is coming to Aqueduct. That'll do it. And John Kasich, citing an emergency in Ohio, I love him, issued an executive order October 14th allowing the Ohio Lottery Commission to adopt regulations governing racetrack video lottery terminals. People will be pouring into River Downs. That's
yeah,
just
boy.
Great. They'll
yeah.
make a lot of money.
The only trouble is the mayors will all move to Ohio. Can I interrupt you now?
Oh, okay.
You want to finish that? One, finish that one. I'll wore you through.
Wait a minute. Oh,
should have read it
before you
came on.
They're mucking it up in Chicago, but who knew? Okay.
All righty. Well, high compression, a two-year-old filly from the first crop by Invisor broke her maiden by 14 and a half lengths on October 12 at Delaware. Now, Midnight Vader has been in the money in five of his seven starts, two stakes. Wonder of It All won her second career start at Ellis Park. Five others have placed, one at Delaware, two at Golden Gate, two in Great Britain. So the Invisors are showing run, and they're more on the way. You can count on that. And run they should, because Invisor was a superior runner, a horse of the year on two continents, at his peak, the number one horse in the world. Listed among his nine Grade 1 victories were two of the world's most coveted stakes, the Breeders' Cup Classic, in which he soundly defeated Bernardini, and the Dubai World Cup. Went over $7,804,000 in one of 10 champions sired by Candy Stripes, a list that also includes Kentucky Derby sire Leroy DeSanimo. Invisor stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Quillen Tack and Leather Company, located in Paris, Kentucky, we're happy to say, right across from Ken's on Main Street. They have just an unbelievable tack shop. This is one of the best tack shops I've ever been in. They have fabulous workers, leather workers. They lock them in the basement, I understand, and throw leather at them, and then they throw back 17,000 halters a year they make. Never figured out how much that was a minute, but that's a lot of halters. They make twitches. They make all kind of halters. They make belts. They make checkbook covers. I have a checkbook cover, and I have a smallish thing that folds with my name on it for credit cards and driver's license and stuff. That's another nice thing. They have a lovely gift shop, and they can make just about anything in leather that your heart desires. And if you want to see more, there's a lot of it on their website. It's quillin.com, Quillin.com. Or their number in Paris is 987-0215.
Well, the Grade 3 Knickerbocker Stakes run last Saturday at Belmont Park was won by Boisterous, a four-year-old colt by Distorted Humor, bred by Cynthia Phipps and trained by Suge McGahee. Boisterous is also placed in the Grade 1 Man of War this year, and he is one of 17 2011 stakes winners by Distorted Humor, who currently ranks 6th on the general sire list. He is ranked among the top 6 on the sire list 6 times. In other stakes last weekend, Wilcox Inn by Harlan's Holiday won the Grade 3 Hawthorne Derby, Poseidon's Warrior by Sprightstown won Delaware's Newcastle Stakes, and Princess Cecilia by Sharp Humor won the $85,000 West Virginia Division of Tourism Breeders Classic Stakes, her third stakes win of the year. Princess Cecilia is one of 14 stakes horses, 10 2011 stakes horses from the first crop by Sharp Humor, the leading Kentucky-based sire of two-year-old winners with 24 in his first crop to race last year. Sharp Humor, son of Distorted Humor, won a pair of stakes in New York at 2. At 3, he won the Grade 2 Swale and lost in a photo to Barbaro in the Grade 1 Florida Derby. Distorted Humor, Sharp Humor, Harlan's Holiday, Sprightstown, all stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond and see the website at windstarfarm.com.
I'm heading down the highway, happy tears in both eyes. Thinking of my folks and friends, sunny southern skies. This feeling's about the best I ever had, Lord, I'm fine. I'm heading south with Nashville on my mind.
We've been invaded.
Now, wait a minute, where's Doug Byers from? Is he from Texas?
No, I think he's out at, without talking to a dead mic here.
Colorado.
He's from Colorado.
Well, that's good. That's cowboy country.
Cars. Yeah. All right. Cars. You, are you continuing with these things or what?
Yeah, I can go ahead with these and you can get the cannon ready for the next
one. Oh, God. My stomach's starting to hurt already.
Yeah, you've been whining about it since Thursday, Zoll.
What's that to you?
I said you've been whining about it since
Well,
Thursday.
I'm going to have to. Pete Pryor is supposed to be here, and so is, of course,
Bowen.
Michael Bowen. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to stay in while you all talk.
That's a shame. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to go
Matt ahead. Just left.
I'll bet. I would if I could get out of here. My shoes are nailed to the floor. Okay. The Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has been... Oh, this is good. Thoroughbred Horse Show Association has been created to develop shows exclusively for thoroughbreds, to give them experience and help other organizations place horses in homes. Horses will be entered in the shows under their registered name. Others will be able to follow their second careers. They're going to be geared for thoroughbreds new to showing with entry-level divisions. All kind of stuff. Dressage, jumping, and trail riding, etc. So, Thoroughbred and anyway, Jockey Club launched its Thoroughbred Incentive Program to sponsor Thoroughbred classes. Would you open that? And High Point Awards. So they're going to commit $100,000 to the Thoroughbred Incentive Program for a pilot program. Well, this is all about. My daughter just called. What's the deal?
Well, we can't find it from here, honey.
She's lost something. Oh, I love it, don't
Bye-bye.
You? Just brain injuries are a blast. They're real
She's
good.
She's lost something at home.
Oh, okay. It's probably right in front of her.
Yeah. See, I can't find it anywhere. I don't know how we're going to find it here. Going home, Daddy.
Thank you.
I guess the babysitter's there, all right. She'll help her find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I'll tell you what, when you give her a... She's had a brain injury, and when you give her a phone... I called one day to ask about a telephone bill because when you call from a 987 number in Paris, it's long distance. I said, I don't call like that. She gets on that phone and calls Aunt Sally and sisters and God knows who. The minute I set foot out the door, so. Okay, we are here at the Thoroughbred Center. We're all on US 27 toward Paris on the Paris Pike on the right. It's a great place. You can get married out here. Are we ever going to get married, or are we just going to go along the way we are?
Let me think about it.
I don't care. Well, if we ever want
to
get married.
It's too late to worry about it.
We ever want to get...
We got married. So how soon we forget you? We got married over in Mount Horeb Church.
Oh, okay. I was worried about that.
Oh, well, you were drunk at the time.
I was not. Oh, that doesn't make it legal, see. If I wasn't aware of my surroundings, it wasn't legal. Anyway, they have a really nice facility over here. Great people to work with if you want to get married or have a divorce party. You know, my first husband, I was married once before. I used to introduce him as my first husband. For a joke. Oh, anyway, it's a real nice place.
It's not as bad as that party we went to on Monday night, and this guy said, "Oh, you're Jackie, you Ursula's husband?" He says, "Yeah, his girlfriend, you Ursula's wife." Jackie says, "Yeah, his girlfriend couldn't make it."
Yeah, bless her heart. Where is she? Get her in here. I need help.
Need help clocking, huh?
Yeah. Okay, if you're interested in getting married or divorced or whatever you want to do, they've got a nice facility out here besides a place to train horses. Their phone number is 293-1853. The Horses in Hope, which is a kind of a breast cancer awareness program that Jane Beshear is behind. Anyway, they are going to have a mammogram screening and health fair Monday, October 24th. That's this coming Monday, Keeneland Sales Pavilion, from 8:30 to 4. They're going to have a health fair too. Low or no cost mammograms, wellness and safety stuff. Now screen your vision, hearing, cholesterol, and then they're going to have food. Sign me up, Espanol or English. So that's coming up. That'll be Monday. The back of it's on upcoming special events in Lexington. Yes, of course. All Tech National Show. I talked about that already. I also, you can go to Ticketmaster, but do you know Ticketmaster is .com, Ticketmaster.com, or you can call. It's an 855 number, 255-2647. Here's a funny one. Rude and Rizzle Hospital's hosting a gastroscopy event, and you and your horse could participate. Who's getting the gastroscopy, you or your horse? I'm befuddled that this is... But anyway, it's... Anyway... Enough of that foolishness. 9 Olympians are coming to highlight the open jumper vision at the National Horse Show, including Breezy Madden, I think her name is. Anyway, big deal. Kentucky Thoroughbred Farm Managers Club, next membership meeting is Tuesday, November 1st at the Red Mile. Guest speaker, Mike Maloney. He's a professional horse. I got to go see this guy. He's a professional horse player and a small-scale owner and breeder. He's the vice president of the Horse Players Association of America. He's lives here. He was in the antique business around here. He served on the Racing Commission Wagering Integrity Committee. He's a well-known speaker and panelist, and registration 6:15 at the Red Mile. You must register by 5 o'clock October 28th. That's next Friday. No RSVPs after the deadline. You ought to be interested in this, Michael. This guy's a professional.
I know him.
Better.
He's
you
fabulous. Him. He's got his own little room in Keeneland.
Get out.
Yeah, I think he does.
What's
I think he's
he
got
do?
His own little room, his own little computer, his own little this, his own little that. Oh, yeah, he puts, you know, he's serious. I mean, he's a, I don't know how much he puts through the mutual window every year, but it's in the millions.
It must be enough that he's got his own room.
He's very smart, yeah.
Well, that's amazing.
And he's nice, too.
Well, good. Mm-hmm. I'm just, I don't think I've ever known a professional, anybody that made enough money betting to live
I
on
did
it.
For 3 weeks.
Really? I did it one afternoon.
I did it for 3 weeks once. When I first left the Globe, I decided I was going to become a professional handicapper. And that's what I was going to do. And for 3 weeks, I went every day. I made $18,000.
You're kidding.
Mm-mm.
Then what happened? You lost
I
it
got so bored.
You're kidding.
And then I lost whatever kind
you
of...
Won.
Yeah. No, well, I didn't lose all of it. No, I lost interest.
Oh, he lost interest mm-hmm. in $18,000.
No, that was nice, but you know, as you can tell, nobody's ever, money's never been a big motivation for me.
I can tell.
That's why I drive that truck, and I can't afford a new razor.
We'll get you a razor. Don't worry about the razor.
Take a break whenever you can. Oh, you want to do that later? Or want
I want to do that right now. Can I do it now or later? Later. Gotcha.
Okay. Well, you wouldn't do it. I've got to do a commercial break.
Okay, go.
With Dinah Farmer and Malibu Moon, two powerful names in thoroughbred breeding. Temple City, a graded stakes winner and track record breakers by Dinah Farmer, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Dinah Farmer has sired over 120 stakes winners and is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list 8 times. And with 10 stakes winners and earners over $5 million, he ranks among the leading sires again this year. Malibu Moon is the sire of 12 stakes winners and the earners of more than nearly $7 million, ranked 5th on the 2011 sire list. Temple City won his first start, getting 6.5 furlongs and won 15-1, then won 2 allowance races at a mile, the first at Santa Anita and the second at Hollywood Park in 134 flat. Moving on to Del Mar, he was beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap. In subsequent stakes, he was second by a head in the Grade 2 American Handicap at Hollywood, ran in record time to take the Grade 3 Cougar Handicap at Del Mar, and in his final start of his career, he nodded at the wrong time to finish second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Temple City's Dam, in addition to being a half-sister to Malibu Moon, is by Danzig, out of a stakes-winning daughter of Mr. Prospector. His first foal to do in 2012. And he stands for $5,000 doing a foal stands and nurses. For possible breeding incentives, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, or Sean Fell, or Ned Toppy at 294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com.
The American Produce Record CD-ROM is now in stock at FirstNet.com. The APR is packed with 50 years of North American broodmare production and race records, including statistics for all weather starts, the only product of its kind. The APR includes sales data since 1986, as well as maiden stats on 2 and 3-year-olds of this year. Pedigrees dating back to 1950, the American Produce Records from Bloodstock Research Information Services is a must for industry professionals. Order the APR today at FirstNet.com or call 859-223-4444.
I want to say a little bit of something about my good friend Ron Wallace over at Equine Farm Management. He's in charge of that dispersal of Chanticleer Farm, incidentally, where the good filly Royal Delta is going to be sold out at Keeneland because she went to Alabama this year. And she's a great racing breeding prospect. I think she's been sold probably as a breeding prospect. So if you want to learn more about that consignment, get in touch with Ron. Let me give you his number. It's his cell number, 621-1655. Of course, Ron is, about 15 years ago, he founded Equine Farm Management, 1995. That would be 15, 16 years ago, wouldn't it? Well, anyway. And what he does, he helps people set up their farms where they can enjoy them. I mean, if you bought some land and you want to develop it and have it done the right way, you need to get in touch with Ron. He knows all who the best contractors are, the best fencers are, the best people to pave your roads for you, or put in the waterers, whatever. Yeah, he also can hire your help for you, and if need be, he can manage your farm for you. He's managed quite a few farms, for instance, at the Chanticleer Farm. For the prince that just passed away. And that's the reason they're having that dispersal, of course. And other present clients, Paladis Investments up in New York, Autumn Winds Farm, Redmond Road Farm over in Paris, Live Oak Stud in Ocala, Elm Tree Farm over in Paris, Hurricane Hills right out here on the Lexington Paris Road. He's really can do things that really be helpful to you. And he's a nice guy, somebody you can trust, and somebody can give you absolutely good advice. His website, again, is equinefarmmanagement.com. And once again, that phone number, make sure I got it right, 621-1655. A couple of minutes and I have to take a top of the hour break, but Dr. Pete Pryor is here and so is Michael Bowen. And Michael, that was,
don't get so excited.
That was fun.
Oh, Monday night,
yeah, yeah, really was.
That was fun. That Nick Ryan's, it was a nice fundraiser for old friends, and Don and Barb over there run have a great establishment. If you haven't been over there, check it out. Kent DeSormo won the barbecue sauce contest, but
well, occasion ought to win a barbecue sauce.
Well, the way he had another great Louisiana technique to winning it. We had these little fish bowls in front of all the different barbecue sauces, and whichever barbecue sauce got the most money donated to old friends who won. He put $100 in his damn barbecue sauce.
Oh, it was a fix. The fix was in.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to fix races, but he can fix a barbecue.
He's unbelievable. Up, huh? He's such a great guy. He really, really is. You know, there are a lot of people that were associated with the Hall of Fame and other things that told us they were going to come and didn't show up. But, you know, every time that he or Jean Cougay say they're going to come, they always show up. And it was great. He had a ball. It was very, very nice to see him. And it was a lot of fun. We'll do it again next year. And his name is being engraved on the special Nick Ryan Saloon Barbecue Trophy.
Does the trophy stay right there, though?
Yes, at the bar until next year.
Until next year.
Which I'll bring $100.
And then they add another name or what?
Well, whoever wins it every year gets their name on the trophy. We keep adding the names.
I didn't know that I was supposed to put a $100 bill in that thing.
Huh?
I didn't know I was supposed to put $100 in there. That might have scared me.
A little hard of hearing. He's a little hard of hearing at certain times in his life.
Huh? And I got to talk to Carolyn.
Carolyn Hines.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Boy, she loved that old horse.
Boy, didn't she?
Yeah.
That was a great ceremony. For those of you who don't know, at Old Friends, we now have an option for people who are selling their farms or farms are being developed. If your horse is in the Hall of Fame, then we arrange to have the horse reinterred at Old Friends. And so far, we have Newer and Skipaway in our cemetery. And we had a ceremony for Skipaway last Monday afternoon. And Carolyn Hines flew all the way in from Florida just to be there.
Mm-hmm.
It made a significant donation to Old Friends, I might add.
Yeah, I'll bet mm-hmm. you. Yeah.
She was very, very nice, and she loved that horse. I mean, if you go back, we got a chance to look back at his Breeders' Cup Classic win when he went, you know, just won easily over some really, really nice horses. And you can see her in the background, you know, Skippy, Skippy, Skippy. You know, she told me, she goes, you know, Sonny and I never had any kids. She goes, he was my kid.
Yeah,
she'd love.
I would have traded a couple of mines for him.
Yeah, I don't think my son's reached the. You know, Skipaway is the third highest money earner of all time, and he earned almost $10 million on the racetrack.
Yeah,
he only raced with Butte twice, and he had Bone Chips. It's an unbelievable horse.
That says something about the doc. Might as well leave those chips in there, hadn't you?
I don't know if I'd extrapolate to that. But
I think Sonny didn't want to pay the $7,500. That's what the...
Is that right?
Yeah.
You always win $10 million and you take the chips out.
I forget, you know, people will correct me if I'm wrong, and they will, but this is close to being accurate. I know that when Sonny bought Skipaway, He then found out after he had him x-rayed after he bought him, and he found out they had bone chips, and so he asked the seller if they would pay for the operation, and they sent him $7,500, and he never had the operation.
Is that right? He was smarter than the average guy.
Well, Sonny he knew how to do a few things.
Yeah.
You know, he also trained his sire, Skip Trial, so those are the two best horses I think Sonny ever had.
Yeah. Well, it's top of the hour. I'm going to take a break, and I'm going to get Pete on for a little while, and then we'll get back to you. How's that?
Yes, sir. Whatever you say, you're in charge here.
Oh, boy. I'm glad we're in charge here.
The radio's clicking off now.
Yeah,
right. You gave a fair warning.
All right. Well, last Sunday, Woodbine, the grade one $500,000 in the Arctic Stakes, was won by Regally Ready, a four-year-old son of More Than Ready, bred by Grapestock. That's a division of Vinery. And carrying the Vinery Silks. Now, just a week earlier, the Grade 1 Jamaica Handicap at Belmont was won by Western Aristocrat, yet another colt bred by Grapestock, and he was also running in the Vinery colors. So that's two more reasons for you to consider participating in the Vinery Racing Partnership Program. Regally Ready's sire, More Than Ready, was the nation's leading sire 2-year-olds last year. On Saturday, the Tropical Park Derby at Calder was won by Oligarch. He's the chief Tomanico Stakes at Belmont was won by I'm Stepping It Up, both 3-year-olds from the first crop by Congrats, last year's number one ranked freshman sire. And did you see that 2-year-old first-time starter by Congrats, Applauding, winning by 9 lengths at Keenan, a new track record time, 6 furlongs and 107-3. Leading sires, More Than Ready, and Congrats stand at Vinery, Kentucky. to inspect the Vinery Kentucky Stallions and to inquire about the Vinery Racing Partnership Program, just call John Casper, or Steve Castagnola, Francis Relihan, or Grant Williamson at 455-9388 and check the website at vinery.com.
Bourbon County, as about 25 years ago, we checked around to see where we should go for our insurance needs. The name that kept coming up was the Hopewell Company. So we had a talk with Ted McLean at the Hopewell Company. We've been doing business with him ever since. And believe me, we've been more than satisfied. The Hopewell Company is an independent insurance agency. They don't work for an insurance company. They work for you. And they represent a carefully selected group of financially sound, reputable companies, so they are able to offer the best coverage at the most competitive price. The folks at Hopewell are prepared to provide you with a no-cost, no-obligation review and comparison of your insurance. The Hopewell Company in Paris, established in 1955 by Joe McLean, is a full-service insurance agency. Give them a call, 987-2347. Or better yet, stop by the office at 820 Main Street in Paris. They're nice people, and they do a great job for you.
ESPN Sports Radio 1300, broadcasting live from the Mingy Beef Jerky Studios.
Mingy Beef Jerky, you'll love it as much as we do.
This is WLXG AM Lexington.
Well, last Sunday in Remington, the $400,000 Oklahoma Derby was won by Redeem, the three-year-old Colby Include. Redeem stalked the early pace and came to the outside for the drive to defeat Alternation, winner the Peter Pan, and Super Derby winner Prayer for Relief. Second earlier in both the Grade 2 Amsterdam at Saratoga and the $300,000 Smarty Jones at Parks, Redeemed has never been out of the money for earnings of over $424,000. Now, Include is also the sire of the 2011 Stakes winners Her Smile, winner of the Grade 1 Prior Stakes, St. John's River, winner of the Grade 2 Delaware Oaks, and an unlucky fast-closing second in the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. Daring Reality, a Stakes winner Belmont, placed in Grade 2 Stakes. She's All In, winner of the $100,000 River City Stakes at Louisiana Downs. Class Included, winner of three stakes in Canada and second in the Grade 3 Ballerina. Florida Stakes winner One Star, and he's the sire of four Grade 1 Stakes winners plus another six, which have placed in Grade 1 Stakes. That's 10 Grade 1 performers. The Includes compete at the highest level. Grade 1 Stakes winner and Millionaire Include stands at Mr. and Mrs. Brereton C. Jones Airdrie Stud. See the website at airdriestud.com, and remember, the Airdrie Stallions are your key to racing profit.
Run, old Molly, run, run, old Molly, run. Timber's gonna beat you to the bright shining sun.
All right, well, we're starting the second hour of this mess. Boy, the clocker stand is filling up out there. I've got Jackie's out there, Holly's out there.
Rusty's Fan Club's out there.
Rusty's Fans Club's out there. And Matt Howard's out there. They're gonna, those three are going to do the clocking. And who's that with the... Right there, all I can see is his rear end there with the clocker. Is Harold here?
Yeah.
Is that Harold?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we're in good hands. Harold's a track man. He's and so I can sit in here and relax. And here comes Robin the Outrider, and it's going to the poo poo is going to hit the fan here any second, I'll tell you. Pete, this is Pete Pryor, who is a veterinarian and a friend of Doug Byers, and that's good enough for me. That's a good recommendation for you right there. I think Doug is a great guy, and
Doug has been after me to do something like this for about 2 months now, and I finally. In a weak moment, Monday night, I guess I must have let my guard down and let him talk me into it. But I don't disappoint you too much.
You own your third beer.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And my 12th oyster.
Your 12th. Boy, you were eating on a half shell there, weren't you?
I was eating the DiGiorno sauce and the raw oysters. It was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm not surprised that he won the barbecue cook-off.
Yeah, I put a buck in his little till.
Yeah, but as Michael said, though, the fix was in, he put 100... what you're supposed to do, you tasted all these barbecue sauces and sauces, and there was a jar sitting right by each one, and you drop in a dollar bill for it. And DeSormo dropped in a $100 bill in his.
I didn't realize that was him sitting there next to the sauce, or I probably would have put in $2 instead of one.
Yeah, right. Oh, well, anyway. Pete, I've never met you before. You've been around here how long now?
I started in practice here in 1985 with Craig Franks. He was a veterinarian in Versailles.
Oh, I remember Craig very well. Died much too young.
Yeah, he died in about 1991.
Yeah.
And was in practice with him for about 3 years. Then I was resident vet for Lane's End Farm for about 3.5 years. And then I've been on my own since 91.
Okay.
Still do leg work and stallions at Lane's End. And I used to do racetrack work also, but I quit doing that about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
where are you from originally?
Colorado. I'm from Denver. I went to Colorado State.
Yeah.
And then went to UC Davis for an equine surgery internship and residency from 80 to 85, mm-hmm. and then came back here in 85.
UC Davis, they used to do most of the testing out there for the spit test, you know.
Yeah.
After race.
I think that's right. Yeah. Dr. Wheat and Dr. Maher were the main guys that I came up under out there. And the first story that kind of came to mind when you asked me to do this was a stallion out there that came in for Dr. Wheat to look at back in about 82, a stallion named Gaelic Dancer, who was a California sire. He was about 16, and he had broken down on the racetrack probably as a four-year-old, about 1970, and he had broken a couple of sesamoids in one front ankle and was able to breed for years and then finally started breaking down a little more in that ankle. So he came in, and Dr. Wheat got a hold of a new gun on the block named Larry Bramlage at Ohio State and flew Larry out there to take a look at this stallion and possibly do a fetlock arthrodesis on him. And so it was a really interesting case to be involved in. It was about the sixth, I think it was about the sixth arthrodesis that Larry had done.
Uh-huh. Is that when you met him?
That's when I first met him.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was very fortunate to work with guys like Dr. Wheat and Dr. Copeland here in Paris and Larry Bramlage.
Oh, you work
Dr.
with Bobby,
Maher.
Huh?
Yeah, I try to. I try to keep up with him every now and then. I don't really work with him. I just hang around with him.
You know what? You got to be careful on the roads when you're in Bourbon County because Bobby drives like a maniac.
Yeah, you might as well get off the road if he's coming.
You know, he hadn't changed in 20 years, and he's older than I am.
I've known him longer than that. I've known him since 79. He hadn't changed since
then. I know. I remember back in many, many years ago. And Randy still rides with him.
Yeah.
You know.
And thank heavens, huh?
Yeah. Somebody's got to keep him straight.
So anyway, this stallion came in, and Larry did the surgery, and Dr. Wee had a wild hair about the recovery on this horse, and this was back when they were doing the swimming pool recovery at Pennsylvania and that kind of thing. And so Dr. Wheat had this idea for a Milo box. And when we were through with the surgery, we put the horse in a sling and brought him out to the room next to the surgery suite, put him in a standing position, and then we had made these plywood panels that would fit around the horse, probably about 4 feet high, that would be able to just explode him and just let him go when it was time to let the horse out of there.
Yeah.
Built these panels around the horse and then filled up all the space around the horse with Milo seed, a little tiny, about 2 millimeter diameter seed like you see in a dove field. It's like bird seed.
Yeah.
Filled that up to about mid-thorax on Gaelic Dancer, and then when we got the sling out from underneath him, and then when he looked like he was ready to go, we popped the strings on the panels and let all those Milo seeds fall out of there. And the horse was smart enough to walk out of there. It was really amazing. It was a great idea, and it never really took off, but it was really fun to see that work.
Yeah, I can see. So he was out of it, and you just propped him up in a standing position, you know, and just kept him standing.
And when he started to fight it a little bit and looked like he might be able to walk, we just let all the sides down and walked him out of there.
Oh,
that was amazing.
That's ingenious.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you didn't think of that.
Hell, I can't. I couldn't design something like that. I do good to tie my shoes, for God's sakes.
I don't know why the idea never took off, except the people having to clean it up probably were a little bit ticked
off. I bet you did.
Plug drains and all that stuff.
Pete, that's a great story. Let me get back to you. I've got to take a little break here. Pay the bills. Last Saturday, call of the Grade 3 Spendabuck Stakes was won by Mad Flatter, a six-year-old horse by Flatter. Mad Flatter has won the Spendabuck twice and has earned over $337,000. He's one of 16 2011 stakes horses by Flatter, a list that includes Flat Out, winner of the Grade 1 Jockey Club Gold Cup, the Grade 2 Suburban of over $1,109,000 and a leading candidate for the Breeders' Cup Classic. Tar Heel Mom, winner of 8 stakes, 4 in 2011, including the Grade 2 Honorable Miss at Saratoga and Grade 3 Sugar Swirl at Gulfstream. She's earned more than $832,000. And a part, winner of Grade 3 Stakes at Pimlico, placed in Grade 1 Stakes at Churchill this year, and a graded stakes winner at Churchill in Louisiana Downs in 2010 for earnings of nearly $700,000. Flatter, a full brother, too. Congrats by AP Indy, out appraised by Mr. Prospector, stands at Claiborne Farm. Inquiries to Bernie Sams and see the website at claibornefarm.com.
Sally Van Service has been in business for more than 60 years, and during that time, many of the greatest runners ever to step on a racetrack were entrusted to their care. And they've learned a lot along the way. It's pretty obvious that their vehicles and equipment are in tip-top condition. But the single most important safety factor is the ability and the experience of the person behind the wheel. They're extremely proud of their drivers at Sally Van Service. They are experienced drivers and experienced horsemen, and that's a winning combination. Think about that the next time you ship your horse, whether it's across the county or across the country. When you load your horse into a Sally van, you can depend on the fact that the person behind the wheel is one of the best in the business. The folks at Sally Van Service wouldn't have it any other way, and that's why for more than half a century, Sally Vans has been the safest way to the winner's circle.
Cape Blanco, undefeated at 2, Classic winner at 3, undefeated in the USA at 4, and a son of champion sire Galileo has joined the ranks of stallions at Ashford Stud. Cape Blanco met and defeated the best grass horses in America this year, winning in 3 starts, the Grade 1 Man Award Belmont, the Grade 1 Arlington Million, and the Grade 1 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic Invitational at Belmont. He was also undefeated as a 2-year-old, taking the Grade 2 Futurity Stakes in the Grade 3 Tyros, and at 3 he won the Classic Grade 1 Group 1, I should say, Irish Derby and Group 1 Champion Stakes, the Group 2 Dante Stakes, and was second in the Group 1 King George VI and Queen Elizabeth Stakes. Sold as a yearling for over $476,000. Cape Blanco retired with earnings of $3,853,228. Cape Blanco is the most distinguished son of the great sire Galileo yet to be retired in the USA. Currently ranked number 1 on the European sire list, 4-time champion Galileo at age 13. Has already sired over 100 stakes winners, 31 this year, 10 of them Grade 1 or Group 1 winners, including the Great Frankel, ranked number 1 in the world, and together, winner last Saturday of the Grade 1 Queen Elizabeth II Challenge Gold Cup at Keeneland. Cape Blanco's dam has also produced Mr. O'Brien, a multiple graded stakes winner in this country, of over $724,000. For more information about Cape Blanco, contact Coomore's Ashford Stud, 873-7088. See the website at Coomore.com. Leading sires, potential leading sires, only at Coomore. There's so many people out here on the balcony right now, I can't even see a horse go by.
Don't want the building inspector to show up right now, do you?
Yeah.
Well, this is the only radio show in the country where everybody puts their back to you.
Yeah, right.
Nobody's even interested. We're out of here.
Well, I'd rather be out there to tell you the truth.
What happens when you show up? The horses show up there. I want to watch the horses. I don't care about this.
That's exactly. Look at that crowd. Would you? Gee, Willikins.
Remember the old Today Show when Dave Garraway used to have it with the chimpanzee and everybody come out and peer in the window?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Well, at least they're not doing that to me. Not yet, anyway. All right, I'm talking to Dr. Pete Pryor here, who is about to find out a little bit about him. He told a really, that's a real good story, Doc.
Oh, thanks.
And
took me all night to make that up.
Did it really? Well, welcome to the club.
I had about 3 pages of notes and left them at home. So.
You're sitting here with 2 other liars, as far as that goes. Of course, that's a champion over there. Where'd you get the Polish Navy hat over there, Michael?
The Polish Navy was at our farm.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt your regeneration form over there.
Oh, that's right.
I'm multitasking. I think that's the only reason he comes in here on Saturdays is to read my racing form at Tight Center. We're going to spend $5.
Yeah. I know, I have to make my marks in pencil so he can erase them later.
Right. Well, all righty. Well, Pete, when did you say you went to Where'd you go to college now?
Went to Colorado State.
Colorado State, yeah. That's where you got your vet degree.
Got out of there in 1980.
Yeah, we've had several other people from Colorado that was here.
There have been several people around here. Several veterinarians with Haggard's went there. And Kirk Shiner.
Yeah, Kirk.
He was a year behind me.
He's still out there, isn't he?
He's in Colorado.
Yeah. Do you keep up with him at all?
Yeah, I see him a couple times a year. He'll come out this way and evaluate stallions, and I usually see him, probably January and maybe a couple other times in the year.
Yeah.
Lives up in McCoy, Colorado, which is up in the northwest.
Is he practicing in Colorado, is that it, or what is he doing there?
I think he mainly has a ranch out there, and then he does reproductive consultations, mainly with stallions.
Mm-hmm. I know he breeds every now and then. He probably still has
some mares, as far as I know.
Yeah, here?
Yeah. I think here.
Yeah, because I think most of them look like they were Kentucky bred.
Yeah.
He used to own a little farm out Leestown Road. I couldn't tell you. You know where the railroad track goes over? Leestown Road? Way out.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. It's just on the town side of that. On the left going out.
Two-thirds of the way to Midway?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. Two-thirds, I don't know. So he was ahead of you?
He was a year behind me in school. I think he probably graduated in 1981.
Okay,
like that.
And you graduated 80. In 80.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Yeah. What made you think about coming to... Well, you went to California first.
Well, I ended up marrying a girl from Kentucky, and then we went out to California in 1980, and... After 5 years there, I ended up with a job with Dr. Franks in Versailles, and I came back here and joined him. And then after that, it's all history. Just was with him for about 3 years, and Lane's in for about three, and then...
Craig had a haircut like mine.
Craig had his head on upside down. He had a big beard down here and nothing on top.
Yeah, I can't grow a beard.
Herb Stevens used to say he's got his head on upside down.
Yeah, right. Herb was a character.
Yeah, that's his best client.
But Craig was a character, too.
Oh, Craig was
kind of a wow. He went to work at Haggard's first.
Yes, sir. I think he was with Haggard's from the time he graduated until he's maybe with them 10 years.
Yeah,
about 1970 or so.
Yeah,
and then went out on his own.
Uh-huh.
Had Widely Farm out on the McCowan's Ferry outside of Versailles.
Okay,
and he was a good guy. He was a great guy to teach me the ropes. And
did he have cancer? Is that what he died?
Yes, he. He initially had signs consistent with brain tumor, and they treated that for about, about 2 years, and it turned out to be a primary lung tumor, of all things.
He never
really smoked, maybe for a little while in the 60s, but had a primary lung tumor that spread to his brain before they ever found out about it.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. I remember it. He was a fun guy to be around anyway, because Bobby Copeland was too.
Yeah, they were both fun together too.
Oh, I imagine.
Craig used to do surgery out at Bobby's surgery every now and then.
Uh-huh. I live not too far from Bobby. I live down in Bourbon County down there, and I see him in the post office right there, and he come flying in that door. You know, he got in with one speed, full speed ahead.
He's one of the best guys in the whole world.
Well, what were you doing at Lane's Inn?
I was a resident vet, and that consisted of herd health medicine cases, doing a little bit of surgery like the periosteal elevations and hernias, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And no reproductive work. Dr. Holder has always done that. Mm-hmm. And so that kept me pretty busy from 88 to 91.
Mm-hmm.
And then... since then, they've still been a major client of mine, doing leg work and lameness and that sort of thing. And then
good people to be with.
I've been taking care of the stallions out there since '91, also.
Oh, you've seen some good ones.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I hate to see AP Indy retire, but
yeah, me too. He's been a.
Have you seen him lately? The horse, what shape's he in?
I haven't seen him for a few months, but he's doing great. He's an easy keeper. There's no doubt about that.
Is he?
You can keep weight on.
Yeah.
Kind of like I used to be.
Well, we have Gulch at our farm now.
Yeah, Gulch is out there until a couple of years ago.
Yeah, Gulch is
doing great. What was he like as a stallion over there, Dr. Pryor?
He was a little tough earlier on, mm-hmm. but he was always a pretty honest horse to be around. He was a very nice horse, and at the end of his life, you know, he was just as reliable and kind as you could ask for. You know, if you really crossed him up, he'd kind of snap at you, but he's a good horse to be around.
You say the end of his life? Hell, he's still alive.
Well, yeah, end of his career, I should say. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Yeah, he's just starting to live now. He still beats Afternoon Delights every day.
Does he?
Yeah. Won't let him pass him. Adjoining paddocks. Won't let him get
he
by.
He might hit a little more early speed than that. Yeah,
he said if it was Waste for Rage, he'd win by 30 lengths.
It was.
Gulch was an interesting horse in that when he retired, he really, and this is before I was taking care of the stallions, but he really only had one testicle palpable. And then after he retired, that second testicle descended. Very unusual to be that old and have that happen.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, but he has both now.
Well, he raised his originally?
I don't know if they called him originally or not, but they say it wasn't palpable. So, amazingly enough, he always had one. He always had one. So,
well, he got the job done anyway, didn't he?
Well, he certainly did.
Sure did. On the track and at the breeding shed.
Yeah. Well, crowd's still out here on the clocker stand.
Leroy, I ran into Leroy Jolly at Saratoga. And of course, he was the original trainer on Gulch. Mm-hmm. And I was asking him for some stories that we can include in Gulch's biography that we have at the farm. People come to visit. And he said, well, I can tell you one thing. He must be the toughest horse who ever lived. I said, what makes you say that, Mr. Jolly? He goes, he survived me and Lucas. That was his little story. And then I ran into Wayne Lucas a little bit later, and I told him the story. And he says, yeah, that's true. He says, it's true. He laughed.
Yeah.
But he's a really, really neat horse.
What kind of medicine are you practicing now, Pete? What are you doing now?
I've been on the shelf this summer. I've been fighting a little battle with cancer, and I'm getting ready to come back, I hope, in the next month or two.
Well, you look well.
Well, thank you. Just about 50 pounds lighter than I was a year ago.
But, whatever it takes.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm not so sure about that. What are you talking about? Gee whiz.
Well, he looks good. I mean, he looks fit.
You know, he does look good, but that's a hell of a weight loss program.
Well, it is.
Yeah, there's no way to do it.
Yeah,
I
really.
Do you ever
everything
tempt
all right?
To call me? Yeah, I think so. I think everything's good. Yeah. Just probably coming back to leg work and stallions, mm-hmm. like I've been doing. And
You said you did some racetrack work. Where was that now?
Keeneland and a little bit out here.
Oh, okay.
Most of my clients, when they renovated the main track at Keeneland, most of those guys were retiring or quitting or dropping dead or doing something. And when they finished renovating the main track, I just said this isn't too fun anymore and I quit doing it.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Ah. How about that? We've got some Keeneland trainers out here now, you know, out here.
Uh-huh.
Fred Seitz is here.
Fred's a great guy. Yeah.
Isn't he?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's an old jarhead Marine, but other than that, you know.
His wife and my wife are like this. They're just...
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm really fond of Fred.
Inseparable, yeah.
Yeah.
Fred donated Will's weight to us.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He should have given you a crafty prospector.
Yeah. Fine.
Yeah, but he
that
was,
would be nice.
Well,
yeah, I know.
I think he hung on to him. That was, you know, he stood deputy minister down at Brookdale.
Yeah, I sure did.
Yeah, and that was what a stud horse he was.
I know.
Yeah, he was. How many times he? Well, he led to Sirely. Topped it twice, I know. Topped Sirely.
He was one of the horses Skipaway beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, he beat a lot of horses.
Yeah.
Yeah. You do any breeding shed work?
Not really. Just when they think they have a problem that I might be able to contribute something to. I'm not there on a routine basis. There's another veterinarian that's there for every session.
Mm-hmm.
Ernie Martinez is there every morning. And then another vet from Haggard's is usually there in the afternoon. Might be Josh Mixon or another one of the guys from Haggard's usually in the afternoon. But if there's a lameness issue or some kind of a unusual situation with a stallion, they'll ask me to come by and see what I think about it, or neurologic issue, something like that.
Yeah, that's, she found a niche there then.
Well, yeah. I don't know if it's a niche or a trough or a hole or what.
Could be, well, that's
could
quite
be a furrow.
That's quite an quite a you know, a narrow thing that you do, I think, you know.
I'm not sure there's a way out of it, but it's...
Yeah. Do you work any other farms besides Orleans?
Yeah, I try to do leg work at Shawnee Farm down near Harrodsburg.
Yeah, sure.
And Hurricane Hall, which is right here on Georgetown Road.
Yeah, my friend Ron Wallace designed that place. It's a beautiful farm.
It's a nice farm, yeah. Oh, Eddie Kane is managing Hurricane Hall now, and for Mr. Kelly, and Ann Estes Farm, which is outside of her sales on... Clifton Pike,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other smaller farms, but those are the main ones.
Yeah. Keep you busy, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Whoops, I got to pay a bill. I'm going to let you go, Pete.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I appreciate you coming by this morning.
Glad I didn't sleep through it here.
You did a great job.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's good seeing you guys.
Well, you don't have to leave if you don't want to. You're welcome to stay.
Can't wait to get out of here. Are you kidding me? You've got bigger fish to fry than us, believe me.
No, all right. A lot of fun. Thank you.
Well, October 15th at Santa Anita, the great $250,000 Oak Tree Derby was won by Ultimate Eagle, a 3-year-old colt by Mizzen Mass. Ultimate Eagle led all the way to defeat a field of 14, posting his third consecutive win. Bred in Kentucky by Ben Walden Jr. and David Hanley, he is a $70,000 graduate of the Ocala April 2-year-old in training sale. The Grade 2 Stakes winner in his first start in Stakes, Ultimate Eagle joins an ever-growing list of major Stakes winners by Mizzen Mass. Runners like Grade 1 Stakes winner Mass Track and Grade 1 Stakes winner Midships, Graded Stakes winners Jaboom, Madeo, C-Speak, Strike the Bell, 22 Stakes winners, 37 Stakes horses and all. You get a lot of run for your money with a Mizzen Mass. The Grade 1 Stakes winner himself, Mizzen Mass, is the son of the outstanding sire Cozine, and he stands at Judmont Farm, whom also the young Grade 1 Stakes winner First Defense, Unbridled Song out of the Grade 1 Stakes winner Honest Lady by Seattle Slew. Inquiries to Garrett O'Rourke or Aaron Fry. See the website, judmont.com. I want to talk about my good friend Tom Biederman. Tom, of course, is my favorite real estate agent, and I think he's everybody's favorite real estate agent. And from the looks of the list of listings that he has and the farms that he sold down through the years, and boy, he sold a bunch of them. And I tell you about Tom, he's somebody you can trust and somebody that you're going to like just to be around. And he is, I'll give you his phone number, it's 277-2030. He runs Biederman Real Estate and Auctioneers. He's got a great website and some really wonderful farms on that website. Several of them are very close to me, where we live, but if you can overcome the neighbors, it'd be a great property to own. But he's really a nice guy, and his website is BiedermanBrokerage.com. I better tell you how to spell his name. It's BIEDERMAN, Brokerage.com. And seriously, right, just got a new listing, I noticed, just right, not within, I guess it's about a mile and a half from our front gate on Clay Kaiser over in Paris. And it's a wonderful location, 224 acres, I believe the sign said. And it's great land right there. But he's got property all over Central Kentucky that he's done a super job with. And once again, if you want to call him, it's 277-2030. And his website is BiedermanBrokerage.com. Now I'm going to talk about another neighbor of mine. And... Jim Fitzgerald. Now, he is somebody, if you want to live close to somebody nice, that would be Jim. I tell you, he does my mowing for us. He found out how old I was and kicked me off my little tractor and comes over and does my mowing now. And I'm just hoping he's got a snow plow, I tell you, because I'm going to need it this winter the way my driveway is, it drifts. But Jim owns Fitzgerald Farm down in Bourbon County, of course, just about. I can see the back of his farm from the back of mine. His is a whole lot bigger than mine. He's got Knock Griffin Farm. He came up under the best, Dr. Michael Osborne and John Williams, when he was at Spencer Farm, when he first came over from Ireland. And Jim, not John. John came down from Maryland. And he was with Lee Eaton, managed his farm. And, boy, those are three top horsemen. And so was Jim. He learned his lessons well.
And he's got a great farm in Knott Griffin, got another farm in Harper's Island, boarding, sales prep, private sales, public sales, transactions, rehab, just whatever you want, he can take care of you. And he's really a quality guy, a great guy to be around. He's also master of hunt for the Woodford Hounds. Let me give you his number over at Knott Griffin. It's 987-8032. And if you just want to talk to somebody that you can trust and somebody that will do you a good job in the horse business, it's Jim Fitzgerald. He also had a great sale out here during the September yearling sales, and his yearlings look great. People like, I'll tell you who some of the buyers were, Kenny McPeak and West Point Thoroughbreds and BBA Ireland, Reynolds Bell Jr., Mike Pegram, Jerry Hollendorfer, they all bought yearlings from Jim Fitzgerald's consignment. So go see him. All right, Michael, are you through handicapping?
No, but I'm willing to take a break.
You go. That is my form.
Yes, it is. I'm going to leave it here. I'll leave it here for you. Don't worry about it.
I didn't want to fuss at you in case you walked off.
I'll buy my own.
You buy your own?
You know, it's great because if you buy it on track, it's only $4 at Keeneland during their 75th anniversary.
It's what now?
$4.
Oh, well, I remember when they were a quarter. For God's sakes.
You remember when they used to put it on clay tablets.
Right. Yep, they delivered one to the cave every day.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Well, what's going on over the old
Oh, lots tours? Of action. A lot of people coming by. There's a friend of mine that may be coming by. I hope will find us. His name is Michael Price, and he wrote a book on Stormcat.
Oh, is that right?
Mm-hmm. He was Stormcat's groom, and he's coming over. Here's Don Combs. I went over and saw his horses a couple of weeks ago.
By Will's Way.
Mm-hmm. His Will's Way horse.
Yeah. Which one's that,
Will
Don?
Bright.
Huh?
Will Bright.
Will Bright. Well, you've won how many races with Will Bright now?
Some thousand.
Sit down here a minute. Ain't nobody can hear you standing up over there in the corner talking,
Hello.
For God's sakes. Will Bright. I remember Will Bright. Does he belong to you?
Yes.
He does.
Now, he used to partner, and he didn't want to be a part. He didn't want to pay any more bills, so now he's mine.
You didn't say that.
I bought him out, yes.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah, and he's won $100,000?
Won over $100,000.
Well.
And I had him in Sunday, entered up the last day, a perfect race for him at Indiana, and he got drew in everything. There was like 13 horses in there. They called me yesterday and said, You don't have your papers up here. There's a horse on the All Swells, but got the papers, and we've got to scratch you.
Oh, my goodness.
So normally, there's seven or eight horses in the race, right?
Yeah.
And they call me, they ask me to help fill it, and then I go in there, and there's 13 go in, and what I do, I get scratched. And I thought I was all set to go, and I got scratched.
Well, they don't like you.
No, don't like me.
Well, they're the only ones who don't.
No, so anyway, I'll have to go to Mountaineer, I guess. I don't. Keeneland's too tough for me. So
we had three winners out here at Mountaineer last night.
Did you really?
Yeah, Jimmy Cargan win one.
Brian Michael,
and Tommy Short.
Tommy Short.
Yeah, had three winners.
Well, maybe Churchill have a race for me, but they sort of write me out of Keeneland. It was too tough for me out there.
Well, we've had a couple of winners here lately at Keeneland. You know, Michael Ewing. You know, it's a lady.
Yeah, right. They had one horse or something? I think so.
Yeah, and then Steve Casey had one.
I saw Steve had a winner out there.
You see what it paid?
$160-some, maybe. Is that right?
That was it. Went off at 83-1.
That's a good problem. I'm sure they all bet.
Yeah. No, he didn't. He came down and told me he did.
No.
He said Matt Strait wrote it for him.
I saw Matt was on.
Broke him out of the 12 hole, and
he was up there near the lead all the way.
He led all the way and won by a head.
That's good. That was good.
You have to be on the lead at Keeneland now.
Yeah, there's a lot of speed. Speed's holding up out there this year. Gee.
Oh, my goodness. This track is so hard. Yeah. You know, we have a horse at the farm that we just got called. His name is He Loves Me Not, and he held the track record for 6 furlongs at Keeneland for 4 years, and he just got broken the other day by a 2-year-old filly, first-time starter.
Yeah, yeah. That was that congrats filly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she ran 107-3, 107-4.
Amazing,
yeah.
You know, there was many years ago, back in the 60s, my dad had an old horse that set the track record for 6.5 furlongs out there, a horse named Larrikin.
that went 116-2, and that record is 16-2.
For a long
time. Oh, it stood for 25 years.
He could run 17s and 18s and 19s and 26 and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He beat Dahlgren that day. You remember Dahlgren?
I remember Dahlgren, yes.
He belonged to Mr. E.G. Drake.
Absolutely, yes.
Yeah, big dark bay horse.
His place was over on Bryan Station Road, I believe, wasn't that where E.G. Drake's place was?
Yeah, right. Right around the corner over here, yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
Mineola.
Mineola Farm.
Yeah. An Indian name for something, I forget, forget what it is.
I think maybe there were some Mineola Indians.
Well, I would assume.
Mineola, Texas.
You couldn't prove it by me, but, you know. But he was a full brother to Swoonson.
Oh, really? He was a really good one, too.
Oh, yeah. They used to come out.
Fast horse.
They used to come out. He'd turn them out every winter, you know, and then bring them back. Like at the 1st of February, something like that, turn him over to Strawder Griffin. You remember Strawder?
I remember him also, yes.
Yeah, and he'd get him ready to run, and then he would turn him over. What was that trainer's name? Lex. Dave Erb used to ride that horse all the time. Rode them both, as far as that goes. Wilson.
Wilson?
Lex Wilson.
I didn't know him.
Yeah, he trained. Well, he trained up in Chicago.
Oh, I see. I didn't know him.
Because both horses raced up in the Midwest. You know that horse, Swoonson, he was ranked second on the, well, about two or three horses ranked above him on the free handicap at two. There was a horse that ranked ahead of him at three, another horse ranked ahead of him at four, and another one at five. But no horse ranked ahead of him twice, so he had to be the best of that crop.
He was pretty steady, pretty consistent, wasn't he?
He won that man by $225,000 a year.
Yeah, that was great. Great.
Yeah, he won. He ended up winning $970,000.
And that's about what everybody used to do. Give them the winter off, come back in the spring. That's when they took off in New York and then race back to March. And
yeah.
Everybody used to take off just about.
I remember.
With the Aiken or South Carolina or Florida, but they around here, we used to lay our horses up. They lasted longer and they seemed that was good for them.
I remember the horse real well. He was a lighter bay than his full brother, Dahlgren was a dark bay, and he was a real bright kind of bay. Had a star and a stripe. Swoonson did, and one on the grass too. He run on anything. Sloppy loved a sloppy track.
Good horse.
Yeah, right.
Very good horse.
Yeah, he was by a horse called the Doge that Carter Thornton stood down in.
Three main stood.
Yeah. Hey, you're getting good. Hey, they're calling your song. Listen to that phone ring, would you? And that's a happy man, isn't it?
Isn't it? And for good reason.
We'll see you later, Don. For you folks that don't know, that's Don Combs, and he saddled the Kentucky Derby winner. Train. Yeah.
Yeah.
Dust Commander. Yeah.
70.
Yeah. Pretty close. It's probably closer
now.
It's
1970.
Yeah.
Ursel, this is my friend. This is Michael Price.
Hi, Michael.
Pleased to meet you.
Yeah, Michael, nice to meet you.
Michael wrote a book on the story of Stormcat that he can tell you a little bit about. It's very interesting. It's a really, really excellent book.
Oh, where's my copy?
Well, I'll bring you one next week. I'll bring you one next week.
All right. Let me see. The story of Stormcat. All right. Well, you picked one that... everybody knows, Michael.
I know him pretty well myself. Very well personally. I was his racetrack groom.
Oh, really?
I took care of him his whole racing career.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, he was a better stud horse than he was a racehorse.
Yeah, but he was just an awesome animal to be around. Even before he became famous, I knew he was special to me.
Yeah.
So just a pleasure and a blessing to be able to be associated with a horse such as that.
Now, that goes back a few years.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, we parted in 1987. That was the last year I was with him.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Were you with him right from the beginning as a 2-year-old? And
I had him 2-year-old and 3-year-old, his racing career. I wasn't with him in his maiden race because, see, I was working for Jonathan, and I was also a valet in the jockey's room. And so I couldn't get away from my valet job to go to Saratoga for his first race. And after that, you know, I thought, I'm not going to be without him anymore. So I more or less gave up my valet job to be with him the rest of his career.
Well, you picked a good one to go with.
Yes, sir.
Now, He didn't win a Breeders' Cup Juvenile, but he was second or third anyway.
He got beat by a small nose by Tasso, supplemental entry from California.
Yeah, yeah.
On the outside, we didn't even know he was there, and here he came and just beat us at the wire.
Yeah, yeah.
That was heartbreaking.
Oh, I bet it was, yeah. You remember that race real well.
Very well. How could I ever forget it?
Any of his races stand out to you?
Yeah, the Young American.
Okay.
Because that really showed me what kind of heart that he had. I knew he had heart in the very beginning. You know, I could see that during his training sessions. But in the Young America, we were up against horses like Danzig and Magombo and Groovy. Danzig Connection, Magombo, and Groovy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were pretty tough, well-known horses. And so, you know, it was a tight race right up until the wire, and those horses were trying to head him, but that heart of his just kicked in, and when he saw them, he just pinned the mirrors back, and the rest was history, you know, and that just showed me the kind of heart that he had and what kind of athlete that he was, and so that stood out pretty much the most.
Mm-hmm. Who rode him that day?
Chris McCarron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you see Chris around here? You know he's here.
He's has the riding school here, yes,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, yeah. He's in the big barn, the great big tall barn up on the top, that'd be 20, 30, barn 30.
Okay.
That's good. Where he is. Good. I bet he'd love to see
okay,
you.
Okay, I'd like to see him, too. Yeah. When I leave here, I'll go visit him.
Yeah, well, you could probably catch him up there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's developed some nice jockeys coming out of here. You know?
That's what it's I understand, yeah.
Fun watching them.
See, I also, you know, worked as a valet for about 20-some years.
In New York?
I started out at Atlantic City.
Oh.
And that was back in, I think it was 1980. And then from there, I went to Delaware Park because they had just reopened it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was there until I gave that job up, which, you know, to be with Stormcat. And then after he retired, they had built a new track in Birmingham, Alabama. And so I was asked to go there and to work as a valet. So I was there and then till that place closed, and they had some financial difficulties.
Right away.
Right, yeah. And so it was probably just for about a year and a half we were there, you know, and then we got a call. They opened a new track in Oklahoma, Remington Park.
Yeah, well, it's going strong.
Yeah, yeah. I was out there last
year. You were at Remington?
Doing my book signing last year. Yeah. I wanted to go back. They've really, you know, done a lot for that place out there.
That's a clocker phone ringing. Somebody answer the phone out there.
There's enough people on the porch.
Okay. Let me take a break and I'll get right back to
you.
I got to catch up on my bills here.
Okay.
All right. High compression of 2-year-old filly from the first crop by Invisor. Broke her maiden by 14 and a half lengths on October 12th at Delaware. Midnight Vader has been in the money in 5 of her 7 starts, 2 stakes. Wonder of It All won her second career start at Ellis Park. 5 others have placed, 1 at Delaware, 2 at Golden Gate, 2 in Great Britain. So the Invisors are showing run, and they're more on the way. And run they should, because Invisor was a superior runner, a horse of the year on 2 continents, at his peak, the number 1 horse in the world. Listed among his 9 Grade 1 victories were 2 of the world's most coveted races, the Breeders' Cup Classic, in which he soundly defeated Bernardini, and the Dubai World Cup. Winner of over $7,804,000 and 1 of 10 champions sired by Candy Stripes, a list that also includes Kentucky Derby sire Leroy Lusanimo. Invisor stands at Shadwell Farm. Inquiries to stand manager Kent Barnes, and see the website at shadwellfarm.com. Well, I want to talk about my good friends organization over on the Georgetown Pike, right where the Ironworks empties onto Georgetown. And of course, that would be Dr. Bill Bernard and his Election and Equine Surgery and Sports Medicine Facility. They specialize in elective surgery there. It's outpatient medicine. If you've got a horse with a little problem, you call them up, make an appointment, come in, they take care of you, and send you home. And that eliminates a lot of problems that horses pick up sometimes when they have to stay overnight or something like that. It's kind of like going into a human hospital, you know. You go in for a toothache and end up with something they have to treat seriously. But they've got Dr. Wes Sutton there, who's a board-certified surgeon, completed his residency at Ohio State. He was down at Ocala and with Rudin Riddle before he went with Dr. Bernard, who, of course, Dr. Bernard was with Rudin Riddle for 17 years. Dr. Laura Bidwell is there, board-certified anesthesiologist. And what you do, let's just say you call for an appointment. They'll meet you there.
They give you the cost in advance. There's no add-ons, no surprises when you get the bill. So give them a call over there, and if I can find the number, I've got written down here somewhere, 987-0770, and their website is Lexington Equine Surgery and Equine. One more, and I'll get right. Don't move that. You're piddling around over here, Michael.
Yeah. Keep you focused here.
Go back to reading your racing form, will you? October 15 in Chicago, the Grade 3 $200,000 Hawthorne Derby was won by Will Cox N, a 3 Ocopa Harlan's Holiday, bred by Dr. John Chandler. Will Cox N has also won the Grade 2 American Derby in the Arlington Classic this year, and he was a game fourth in the Grade 1 Secretariat. As a 2-year-old, last year he won his debut at Arlington, then placed in both the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity and the Grade 2 Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf. He's earned over $480,000. He's one of 10 2011 stakes winners by Harlan's Holiday. In other stakes last weekend, the Grade 3 Knickerbocker was won by Boisterous, a 4-year-old Cobra Distorted Humor. The $85,000 West Virginia Division of Tourism Breeders' Classic Stakes went to Princess Cecilia, a 3-year-old from the First Crop by Sharp Humor. He's a son of leading sire Distorted Humor. And the $75,000 Newcastle at Delaware was won by Poseidon's Warrior, a 3-year-old champion by Spritestown, who ranks 10th on the sire list this year. Harlan's Holiday, Distorted Humor, Sharp Humor, Spritestown. All stand at Windstar Farm. Inquiries to Robert Hammond. See the website, windstarfarm.com. All righty. Well, I'm talking to Michael Price, who has written the story of Stormcat, and I guess he knows him about as well as anybody, because he was Stormcat's groom, starting in his 2-year-old season. Yes, and that's nice to be associated with a horse like that. You know, I knew the guy that took care of him when he came back to the farm here and went to stud, Dr. Bobby Copeland. You know Bobby?
Very well. As a matter of fact, he's mentioned in the book.
Is he?
Yes, sir.
Oh, well, we'll delete that.
No, he's really a fantastic guy.
Oh, he really is. Yes, he is. I think they gave him a share in the horse.
Yes, I'm pretty certain they did. Him and Jonathan Shepherd, the trainer, also.
Oh, that was nice. Mm-hmm. Those were nice people to work for, you know. But
and so I have to write a book to try to get something equivalent to a share.
Is that right? You're going to have to sell a lot of copies of that book. You know, at the end toward the... When he was at his peak, seasons were going for $500,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he started out at $20,000, I think.
Is that what they started?
Yes, sir.
You'd probably know more about
and
that.
And then I think Flanders is the one that really got his big start when she won and became pretty famous. And I think that's what really initiated his stud fees that went up. And
did you ever get to take care of any of his progeny, any of his foals?
No, because when he retired from racing, I retired from grooming. So I've never really groomed another horse since. I just went back to being a full-time valet.
Okay, yeah. You like that better than this is one horse that you loved and you wanted to be with him, is that right?
For the I could have had opportunity to be with him through his whole career. I could pretty much have been with him right now if I wanted to have chosen to, but it was a...
You don't want
to
do that.
I didn't
want to
do...
No, he's alive.
Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah, sure. I saw him just yesterday. I came down to visit him yesterday.
Is that right? I thought he passed away.
No.
How does he look?
He looks great. Well, he really does. He's still the same old Ornery.
Well, how old is he now? 28.
28
years old. Wow. Mm-hmm. They don't live much longer than that.
Well, the way he looked when I saw him the other day, well, his mother, Terlingua, she was 30-plus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he'll easily reach that because he looked really good. I was really impressed to see him. How
did you ever
looked.
See her run?
No.
That's where he got his speed. Today.
Right. I never knew her. I didn't know anything about her until
she was a spy song, wasn't she?
She was by... who?
The spy song and the pedigree.
I don't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well. I'm pretty sure that's right. Well, maybe I'm wrong.
No, she's by Secretariat.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. She's by Secretariat.
That's a little bit better than Spy Song. So Spy Song won is about 6 furlongs, all he wanted to go.
Is that right?
Yeah. So that goes back away now.
I'm
predating you there. Yeah.
But my book, it was kind of inspired by one of Mr. Young's secretaries.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I'd come down and visit Stormcat periodically, I'd tell him about the different things that went on with me and him during his career. And Carmen, the secretary, you know, she kind of said, Mike, you should write a book about him because you wouldn't believe the fan club that Stormcat has all over the world, you know. Mm-hmm. And so right there, that kind of inspired me. And I had saved pretty much all this, the clippings that were in the Blood Horse and then the Thoroughbred... the daily
Times.
Racing form.
Yeah, in the form.
Yeah, yeah. I saved clippings, and then I always carried my camera with me, so I was always taking pictures of him all the time, you know. And I got pictures that no one's really ever seen before.
In the book?
In the book, yes, sir.
Oh, that's right.
Yes, sir.
That's good.
And then I did book signings last year, and on the book signings, I had like a bunch of big old poster boards on easels that had all the clippings and his programs from the Breeders' Cup, the Young American, the World Appeal. I saved all that, and so I just displayed it all on my book signings.
That's what I was going to ask you. Where can we get a copy of this?
At the Old Friends Gift Shop, we have some signed copies.
Oh, yes, yes. They're already autographed, so
yep.
that ought to be really nice.
We have a wide selection.
Jumped right in on that, didn't he? He knows how to hustle you, boy.
And if you can't make it down to Old Friends, then Amazon.com.
Okay.
And the name of the book is called The Story of Stormcat.
Okay.
By Michael Price. That's me.
That's you. Where are you from originally?
Bridgeport, Ohio, right across the river from Wheeling, West Virginia. As a matter of fact, I also work part-time now as a valet up at Mountaineer Park. And as a matter of fact, I have to work tonight up there.
Oh.
So I got a long drive back to get back there and put on my Superman outfit and go to work.
Well, there are a lot of horses down there that run from here, you know.
They ship up, yes, sir.
Yeah, we had three winners down there last night.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah. Tommy Short won a race.
Oh, you know what? I looked on the computer at the results, Equibase, and I saw where Tommy had won a race last night.
Jimmy Cargan.
Okay.
Won, and who was the other one, Jackie?
I don't know.
Brian Michael.
Okay.
Yeah, we had three winners last night.
Okay.
Telephone. That's the clocker phone again.
Okay.
We got two. Well, we got 8 minutes here. Okay. Well, is there Amazon and...
Amazon.com.
Is there any other places we can buy that now?
Yes, sir. Old Friends Retirement.
Well, knew that. Yeah. Well, is it out of Joseph Beth, or can you go on...
I couldn't answer that. I just know for a fact that Amazon.com. And then if you run into me anywhere... You know, then I always have some with me.
Okay. So. All right. All right, well, Michael, that's great.
It's a good companion volume. There's that wonderful book, Legend, about Stormcat basically as a breeding stallion, and it's like a good double header. So you can read about his racing career, and then you can read about him as a stud.
Yeah, boy, he's
what's it called? Stud.
Some great sons. You ever go to see any of his stud?
Yes, sir. As a matter of fact, I was in Ocala last year, and I saw With Distinction, Consolidator. I went around to a lot of farms just looking for his sons, you know, and there's a lot of similarity in their markings and even the way that they're built, a lot of the offsprings that I saw. And most of the ones I saw were all stallions.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a valet quite a bit. There's a lot of his offspring that come in that I end up saddling, you know, but none of them really compare to anything that he's like, you know, we're mountaineer.
Yeah. Well, that's who are you handling down there?
Well, right now I don't have any particular riders because I took a retirement and you know, focused on my book. But they use me to fill in when they're shorthanded.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, right now I'm just saddling the horses. And mm-hmm. I don't have any particular riders, but I used to have my best one was Louis Rivera.
Oh yeah,
a classy guy and a real good rider. And then I had other ones, but Louis probably the best known that I had.
Mm-hmm. How far do you live? How far do you live from the racetrack?
14 miles.
Oh, okay, that's convenient for you then.
Just on the other side of the river, I can swim across if it gets too bad.
I'm afraid it's winter, you can walk across.
Yeah.
All righty.
Can I mention one more thing?
Please.
Okay, this is being that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month,
mm-hmm.
and most people don't know this, but I'm a male breast cancer survivor.
Is that right?
Yes, sir, yeah. And I'm a 20-year survivor, and I did the mastectomy, the chemo, and the whole 9 yards. As a matter of fact, I was a valet at Remington Park at that time, and I never missed a day of work going through my chemo and everything, but I just wanted to bring it to people's attention that men can get it too, and we're not exempt. you know. So breast cancer is just not a woman's thing. It's a man's thing, too. And so just I want to bring awareness to all men to just kind of keep an eye on things.
Okay. Well, that's very good, Mike. Well, it looked like you whipped it. It's been 20 years.
I'm very blessed, yeah.
Yeah. Good for you. Good for you. All righty.
All right, Ursel. Come see us.
Thank you for bringing...
Buy a book.
Yeah.
See a horse.
Thank you for bringing Michael by. It's fun talking to him.
Oh, we need some ground feeders, if anybody's got any ground feeders.
He comes on the show and hustles and, everybody.
And we need some hay. We need anybody's got any extra hay there. And we could even pay a little if that's a necessity.
I thought you were going to hit me up for a 20 or something, you know. I mean.
Well, we already got the 100 of DeSormos put into the hay bucket.
Okay. All right. Well, I dropped a dollar in. What are you going to do with
that? Fabulous.
Yeah, right.
Buy us a flake or two.
All right. You're the flake.
Yeah. Well, thanks a lot, Ursula. It's great to see you. And it's been a fabulous morning.
Thanks for coming by. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you very much for having me. My pleasure.
Yeah, well.
Don't forget my book, Story of Stormcat.
All right.
Amazon.com. 1999.
Hey, you've been taking lessons from Michael. Well, Dinah Farmer and Malibu Moon, two powerful names in thoroughbred breeding. Let me start that again. Dinah Farmer and Malibu Moon, two powerful names in thoroughbred breeding. Temple City, a graded stakes winner and track record breaker, is by Dinah Farmer, out of a half-sister to Malibu Moon. Dinah Farmer has sired over 120 stakes winners and is ranked among the top 10 on the North American sire list 8 times. And with 10 stakes winners and the earners over $5 million, it ranks among the leading sires again this year. Malibu Moon is the sire of 12 stakes winners and the earners of nearly $7 million to rank 5th on the 2011 sire list. Temple City won his first start, getting 6.5 furlongs and 1:15-1, then won 2 allowance races at a mile, the first at Santa Anita and the second at Hollywood Park, and won 34 flat. Moving on to Del Mar, he was beaten less than a length in the Grade 2 Del Mar Handicap. In subsequent stakes, he was second by a head in the Grade 2 American Handicap at Hollywood Park, ran in record time to take the Grade 3 Cougar Handicap at Del Mar, and in the final start of his career, he nodded at the wrong time and finished second in the Grade 1 Hollywood Turf Cup. Temple City's Dam, in addition to being a half-sister to Malibu Moon, is by Dancy, out of a stakes-winning daughter of Mr. Prospector. His first foal to do in 2012 stands for $5,000 doing a foal stands and nurses. For possible breeding incentives, contact Ken Wilkins, Des Dempsey, Sean Feld, and Ned Toffee at 294-0030 and see the website at SpendthriftFarm.com. All right, Jackie.
Remember?
The Black Tulip used to be in Midway, and Sun Elf Black Tulip. It's called the Tulip Bistro and Bar. What made the tulip in Midway so much fun and so the foods out of this world was executive chef Spencer Vandendoel, who is now over in good old Chevy Chase, right in the middle of everything, easy to get to. It's a great place, same wonderful good food. It's on 355 Romney Road. What a great place to go during the race meet. It's absolutely out of this world. Their soups are fabulous. And I tell you what, they really, 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 if you like oysters and crab and frog legs and that kind of stuff you don't get at the old drive-thru, this is the place for you. It's a lot of French food and local food. I just can't say enough about it. It's absolutely a wonderful place to go. And, like I said, 355 Romney Road, give them a call, 367-6687.
Yeah, that music means it's time to check out. I want to apologize to Steve Moody. Steve, things just kept happening over here, and we just couldn't get there. But we'll talk to you next week. And if you
regular time next week.
Regular time next week right
10
here
o'clock.
from 10 till 12. Been wild over here this morning.
Hey, we got another whole page of workers out there.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
We didn't miss any. It's good.
All right. That's it. Talk to you next week.